From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo says Indonesia must maintain unity and integrity of nation in political year. Indonesian government prepares steps for transitioning into COVID-19 endemic stage. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has said that the situation in the current political year, which is closing to the general election 2024, must be maintained properly to ensure the unity and integrity of the nation. While delivering his remarks at the National Dharma Santi celebration in Jakarta on Friday, as quoted by Antara, the president added that all parties should be grateful because the COVID-19 pandemic and various difficult challenges have been handled properly. These achievements have led to the recovery of community activities and a return to economic growth. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has stated that the government is currently preparing steps required for transitioning into the COVID-19 endemic phase based on the World Health Organization decisions to revoke global emergency status for the virus, knowing that people gradually treat the virus as harmless. The Vice President made the statement during a press conference after attending an event entitled Strengthening the Development and Empowerment of Village Communities Towards Indonesia Free from Stunting and Extreme Poverty in Ternate, North Maluku on Friday, May the 12th. As quoted by Antara, the government has taken measures to anticipate any likely unwanted events by providing medicines and facilities. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati met United States Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen to discuss potential cooperation between the donor agencies of each country. Minister Sri Mulyani pointed out on Friday, as reported by Antara, that through this collaboration, both Indonesia and the U.S. can have wider capabilities in helping other countries in need. The donor agencies she referred to are the Indonesian Agency for International Development and the United States Agency for International Development, USAID. Besides discussing the cooperation potential between donor agencies, both ministers also talk about several important topics that are relevant to the current situation, especially related to the global economy and the issue of minerals. Director of Fisheries Port of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Tri Aris Wibowo, in Jakarta on Friday, as quoted by Antara, said the construction of integrated and modern fishing port in the country will be financed by foreign grants and loans from overseas. The development plan will be financed by a grant from the Japan International Cooperation Agency, JICA, and he added the loan will be obtained from the Agence Française de Développement, AFD, and the Islamic Development Bank, IBD. He also remarked at the port construction through the JICA grant scheme, which is being carried out at the Integrated Marine and Fisheries Center, with activity centers at Ukurlaran Saumlaki in Maluku, Dailo Majiko Morotai in North Maluku, and Ie Meuleu Sabang in Aceh. South Africa's foreign ministry says the U.S. ambassador has apologized unreservedly for claiming the country sold weapons to Russia. On Thursday, Ruben Brigetti alleged a Russian ship was loaded with ammunition and weapons in Cape Town, South Africa, last December. As reported by BBC.com, South Africa says it has no record of an arms sale, and President Cyril Ramaphosa has ordered an inquiry. On Friday, the White House National Security spokesman John Kirby would not be drawn on details of the allegations, but he stated it was a serious issue and the U.S. had consistently urged countries not to provide support for Russia war in Ukraine. Sudan's ambassador at the United Nations, Al-Harith Idris Al-Harith Mohammed, as reported by ArabNews.com, said the government of Sudan has the security situation under control, even as civilians and refugees are fleeing to neighboring countries and are in need of urgent humanitarian assistance. Speaking at a press conference at the UN on Friday, Mohammed said that the rebellion by the Rapid Support Forces, or RSF, a group of heavily armed militias, had failed to take control of the country. He noted that the government and its armed forces had the upper hand in the current fighting, had not declared a state of emergency, and communication had not been disrupted. Week-long peace talks in Saudi Arabia between the two factions had failed to end the conflict and produce a permanent ceasefire as of late Thursday. This was despite a declaration of principles signed in Saudi Arabia, which has led recent efforts to mediate between the two factions. Malaysia's economy recorded a better-than-expected gross domestic product, or GDP, expansion of 5.6% in the first quarter of 2023, driven mainly by private sector expenditure. Earlier, local daily The Star, citing analysts, predicted that the GDP growth for the first 3 months of the year to hover around 4.8%. As reported by ChannelsNewsAsia.com, Bank Negara Malaysia Governor Nor Samsiah Mohamed Yunus said on Friday that the growth of 2023 was supported by a further expansion of household spending, continued investment activity, improving labor market, and higher tourism activities. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Oh,
The first news comes from Trenggalek, East Java. Durian Forest Agrotourism, located in Sawahan Village, Watu Limo District, Trenggalek Regency, East Java, is confirmed to be nominated for the 2023 Indonesian Tourism Village Award. Head of the Tourism and Culture Office of Trenggalek Regency, Sunyoto, in Trenggalek on Wednesday, May the 10th, said Duren Sari Tourism has passed the selection of the top 75 and is expected to enter the top 10 of the best tourist villages in Indonesia. Sunyoto explained that there are several categories contested in 2023, namely natural tourist attraction, artificial culture, homestays and public toilets, souvenirs, digitals and creative content, CHSE or cleanliness, health, safety and environment sustainability, as well as tourism village institutions. He hopes that Trenggalek can win championships in all of these categories. The next news comes from Sintang, West Kalimantan. Members of the Sintang Palace family in West Kalimantan province on Tuesday, had a Bait Banua ritual in commemoration of the 661st anniversary of Sintang City. This ritual, in the form of dances, has a meaning that invites fellow human beings to preserve nature. A member of the Sintang Palace family, Mas Sinapati Muda Rangga, in Sintang, West Kalimantan, said Wednesday that Bait Banua is also called Sedekah Bumi, contains a philosophy of being grateful for God's blessings to humans so that they can preserve the natural environment. The Bait Banua ritual was carried out at 6 points around Sintang City, attended by the region of Sintang, Jarod Winarno, as well as a number of other important officials in Sintang Regency. The last news comes from Banda Aceh, Aceh Province. The Aceh Cultural Arts Committee team won the first place in the 2023 World Dance Day event, which took place in Kota Tua, Jakarta. Head of the Aceh Committee, Sulaiman, in Banda Aceh, Monday said, Aceh won the title after defeating teams from various regions in Indonesia, even from abroad. World Dance Day 2023, which was held by the Board of Archipelago Cultural Arts Committee on Saturday, May the 6th, was attended by 10,000 dancers from various regions in Indonesia, as well as a number of countries in Asia, such as Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam, China, India, and Thailand. At the event, the Aceh team performed with 26 dancers in a collaborative dance called Rampoy or Diversity. That was news from across Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back this year. Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations, Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia.
The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voanews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners. From Indonesia to the world.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on May 13, 1950, when Formula One began. For the first time, the Formula One car race, or well known as F1, was held at the Silverstone Circuit in England on May 13, 1950. F1 is the highest class in single-seat car racing. The first official Formula One competition was won by an Italian racer, Giuseppe Farina, in his Alfa Romeo car. This competition was stopped in the early 1980s due to high costs. However, it was held again in the following years. Until now, Formula One car racing has become one of the most prestigious sports in the world. Let's move to the event of 1969 when international racial riots happened in Malaysia. The May 13 incident is the term for racial riots between ethnic Chinese and Malays that occurred in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on May 13, 1969. The incident killed 184 people. This incident was the culmination of the problem of unity in Malaysia and has a close connection with the May 10, 1969 general election. As a result of this riot, an emergency order was issued. Nobody was allowed out of the house. Police forces patrolled around Kuala Lumpur. Soldiers from the Ranger Regiment had previously been deployed to maintain security around Kuala Lumpur. This incident of ethnic riots is a black spot in the history of Malaysia. We end today in history with the event on May 13, 1981, when Pope John Paul II was shot. On May 13, 1981, the 264th Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, Pope John Paul II, was shot by a Turkish man of Kurdish descent, Mehmet Ali Aga, in St. Peter's Square, Vatican City. The four shots injured Pope John II and required surgery. But Pope John Paul II survived. The shooter, Mehmet Ali Aga, was arrested and sentenced to life in prison on charges of attempted murder. Pope John Paul II pardoned the shooter. The background to the shooting still remains a mystery. Several years ago, Mehmet Ali Aga stated that he was grateful because the gun suddenly jammed so that the Pope didn't die in his hands. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Washing this thing from all the flames.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 475 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on potential for increased export or ornamental fish to Saudi Arabia. Indonesian trade attaché in Riyadh, Gunawan, said that Indonesia has the potential to increase ornamental fish export to Saudi Arabia. This opportunity rose after Saudi Arabian entrepreneurs committed to increasing imports of ornamental fish from Indonesia recently. Quoting a press release from the Indonesian Ministry of Trade on Thursday, May the 11th, Gunawan explained that Indonesia has a large number of varied pet resources, especially because of its vast waters. This also includes freshwater ornamental fish. He added, the cultivation of freshwater ornamental fish in Indonesia involves many breeders with micro, small, and medium-scale enterprises. Gunawan explained, the government, ministries, and institutions, regional governments, and associations need to increase the competence of breeders and the production capacity of freshwater ornamental fish cultivation through an integration scheme with aggregators that can encourage increased exports for micro, small, and medium enterprises actors. Based on trade statistics, Indonesia's ornamental fish exports to Saudi Arabia in 2022 amount to $132,000. However, this has decreased significantly compared to 2021, which amounted to $344,000 due to the COVID-19 pandemic and a threefold increase in shipping costs. Meanwhile, Indonesia's ability to export freshwater ornamental fish to the world has increased in the last 3 years, namely recorded in 2022 of $29.55 million, in 2021, $27.85 million, and in 2022, $24.68 million. Indonesia is the number three supplier of live freshwater ornamental fish in the world to Saudi Arabia after Australia and Sri Lanka. Gunawan explained that one of the companies committed to importing ornamental fish from Indonesia was Saudi's Pet Oasis company. The company will also import equipment and potential services for Indonesian veterinarians. Pets Oasis Company is a commodity importer company related to pets imported from various countries. In addition, it also imports products for the maintenance of other animals such as birds, dogs, cats, rabbits, and reptiles. That was my Indonesia Today.
Such a shame for
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Color Typical Rice of Labuan Bajo. Nasi kolo is a traditional dish of Labuan Bajo, Manggarai, East Nusa Tenggara. Even the dish has been made and consumed by the people of Labuan Bajo, East Nusa Tenggara, from generation to generation. The dish was also served for a number of heads of state and delegates to the 42nd ASEAN Summit 2023. Listener, at first glance, nasi kolo is similar to nasi bakar, but the preparation is not the same as roasted rice in general, because kolo is not baked by using banana leaves. Kolo rice is made by using bamboo as a place for the rice and given a special Labuan Bajo seasoning. Kolo means cooking with bamboo. To burn it also provides a special fuel tool and uses coals of fire. Its burning time takes about half an hour. The aroma of burning bamboo permeating the rice makes the taste of this traditional food even more appetizing, and after that, the new kolo is ready to be eaten warm. Listener, the way to cook Labuan Bajo's typical roasted rice, which looks like rice cake, is quite complicated. First of all, the rice is mixed with the seasoning water, then put into the young bamboo for 30 cm long. Afterwards, it covers the hole where the rice is put in the bamboo with banana leaves, then burns it for 30 minutes. After being cooked, it is then removed from the bamboo and rolled up in banana leaves as a wrapper. Even though it's cooked on fire, as soon as you open rice wrapper, you will feel that there is oil soaking it. But uniquely, this oil doesn't feel sticky in the throat. There is a slight taste of spices and very thin, elongated leek slices between the rice. Thus, even if you only eat the rice, it won't taste bland. Nasi kolo, which is the main menu, is usually eaten with fish in fresh sour sauce, seasoned shrimp and cassava. Listener, this kolo culinary is made using rice, which is the result of community harvest. So it is not ordinary rice, because the rice is harvested through a series of traditional rituals before being processed and cooked. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Hujan kini telah berhenti dan diiringi sinar mentari. Dingin juga tiada lagi, hangat terasa. rasa di sanubari. Datang dan pergi, pergi dan datang lagi.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, today's edition of Miscellany talks about the Indonesian Information Museum will hold road shows or tours around the country. This exhibition is held as an effort to reach more enthusiasts and communities for the Information Museum. In the early stages, the roadshow will be held in around 3 locations a year, before being held routinely as planned once a month. It is planned that the Information Museum will display several selected collections, one of which is a collection of historical gems, a camera that recorded the giant meeting at Ikeda Field or Jakarta Athletic Association on September 19, 1945. Apart from the camera used to record President Sukarno's short speech, the Information Museum will also display the notes of Adi Negoro, a pioneer journalist in the country. The Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Informatics, as the manager of the Information Museum, is reportedly targeting several locations such as shopping centers, airports, and other densely populated locations. From this roadshow, it is hoped that the Information Museum can reach more communities because it is communities that play important role in the existence of a museum. Communities are liaison agents that can bridge communication between the museum and public. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Trouble you will find you no matter where you go, oh, oh.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Asma Liberasi by Keroncong Roti Bakar. This song was written by Dimek Tirta, then developed and worked on in its entirety by the manager along with Sugi Bornean personnel, namely Eric, Fanny, Aditya, Ilyas, and Damar. Asma Liberasi was created in May 2019 and released on digital platforms on July 21st, 2019. The title Asma Liberasi is taken from the lyrics, namely Asmara and Kalibrasi, which means romance that has been calibrated. Sugi Bornean combines Indonesian, Javanese, and a bit of Sanskrit in this song. This song tells about excessive love between lovers, especially in terms of commitment and compromise. Asma Liberasi is deliberately filled with several figures of speech, which contain praise for the lover. Well, listener, here is Keroncong Roti Bakar with the song Asma Liberasi. Check this one out. Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.